Next man I'd like to call on, a little larger than I am. He also has been busy this morning. He's held the same position as Mr. Mendel, only he has been working with the level land contestant. Leif Young, Assistant Director of the Farmers Home Administration for the state of Iowa. He will give us a few words about the level land contests that were held this morning.
Thanks. You know, I'm pretty handicapped today, folks. They've got a tie and a pair of shoes on me. But I want to say this, that we have had a swell contest back there. There's a wonderful bunch of people here to work with. I've had a swell bunch of judges. I had 9 contestants in the national plowing contest from all over the Middle West. And I had 12 in the state plowing contest, and they were all good sports. You know, in the morning of one of these contests, when I wake up about 5 o'clock, I wonder how in the heck I'm ever going to get through it. But it's easy as pie when you've got people working with you that are willing to do just a little more than their share. And I'm going to bring my plowing up here pretty soon, and I'll show you they're all better than Frank Mendel's. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Young. The next guest I'd like to call on comes to us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is the regional chief of the Soil Conservation Service, Mr. R.H. Musser. Mr. Musser.
I wish that I didn't have the shoes and tie and the coat that Leif said they got on him. You know, it isn't very often that we have an opportunity to talk to as many people at one time as we do today. And as been said before, this is probably the largest crowd that has ever come together to view, observe, and learn some of the things that are basic to our national welfare and our way of life. Soil conservation in its application on the land. And that's not hard to understand when we recognize that basically soil conservation is using the land according to its capabilities and treating it according to its individual needs. What you see here on these 5 farms today is being done in a similar way on millions of farms in this country. But there are many millions of farms that still need it. And we need to be about getting the job done. The direction and planning of a program of soil and water conservation is in the hands of the people in soil conservation districts. There are, I believe, 91 soil conservation districts in the state, all but one a county size. There are better than 2,100 of them, nearly county in size, throughout the United States. 3/4 of all the farmland is in organized soil conservation districts. The opportunity for people to do soil conservation, do it rapidly and effectively, lies just ahead. This work, this need, this problem, and active participation in it is recognized by nearly everyone today. Business, industry, the schools, the churches, the farms, all of it. Why? Because it is our business. It is necessary that we have food. It is necessary that we have clothing. It is necessary that we are able to sell the products of our labor. And unless we have our stable soil and productivity, the things which make it possible to produce and to sell, neither one of us can prosper. And none can prosper long at the expense of the other. The work you see here today is the forerunner and basic to flood control, which you've heard so much about. These are the first steps in controlling or retarding flood and preventing flood damages. You are here building a permanent agriculture. You're building the basic and conserving the basic resource of this world. It is truly a job for neighbors to do, working together day by day in planning, applying, and maintaining or keeping the soil in place. It is our heritage, and it is not the job or the responsibility of the farmer alone. It is the responsibility of all of us. And may I say in the last word that if all of you people, the thousands and thousands that are here today, if you will do on your land, with the assistance and cooperation of your neighbors, what you've seen done here today, and I know many of you are doing it now, it won't take long to get this job done. Remember, good soil is basic to our way of living. It is indispensable to life. But if it is properly used and treated according to its need, it is virtually inexhaustible. The charge is in yours and mine hands.
Thank you very much, Mr. Musser. Now, before we present Herb Plambeck, I have a few more introductions I'd like to make. Senator George Wilson, senior senator from Iowa, is on the stand, along with Guy Gillette, Democratic candidate for Senate from Iowa. Will these gentlemen stand up? Representative Ben Jensen, and candidate for Congress, William Byers, the Republican candidate for governor, William Beardsley, the Democratic candidate for governor, Carol Schweitzer, Congressman Paul Cunningham, and candidate Vincent Browner. At this time, I'd like to call in WHO's farm director for his part in this afternoon's program. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Herb Plambeck.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have another very special privilege this afternoon, and I'm going to ask Howard Hass, who has been before you earlier in this program, to assist in this. I'm going to introduce the nation's first lady. I'm going to ask Mr. Hass to introduce the other guest in the front row seated with the first lady. And in that time, we will make a quick shift here on the platform so that you can again see the chief executive before he leaves. I now take great pleasure in presenting to you the nation's first lady, Mrs. Truman. The crowd is standing up in recognition of the First Lady. The photographers are taking pictures of her. The crowd now has settled again. I'm turning the microphone back to Howard Hass while we get to the chief executive here.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, it's my privilege to introduce the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Truman, Margaret. Miss Margaret Truman. Now, while we're waiting for Mr. Truman to make his appearance here, I'll turn the microphone over to Herb.
Howard, ladies and gentlemen, the next feature on today's National Plowing Match and Soil Conservation Field Day program, we think, will be one of the nicest of all, because we have the unusual opportunity now to call again on the nation's chief executive and have him make some comments about some of his observations made in his very brief tour of one or two of the soil conservation demonstrations. And Mr. Truman, on his coming to the platform, assured us it would be permissible, insofar as he was concerned, if we asked a few questions about the farming experience of his own. I'm sure that if you people have had an opportunity to discuss Mr. Truman's experiences on the farm, as several of us have had, you would look forward to any comment the president wishes to make in that regard. Ladies and gentlemen, for some informal remarks that he may wish to make about the observations here of the plowing matches and the Soil Conservation Field Day, we give you again the President of the United States.
Thank you very much. I've had a most pleasant day, and outside the fact that I had to make a speech, it's been a happy day. I heard a fellow tell the story once about how he felt when he had to make a speech. It's an old, old story. I heard it about 40 years ago. He said when he had to make a speech, he felt like the fellow who was at the funeral of his wife, and the undertaker had asked him if he'd ride to the cemetery in the same car with his mother-in-law. He said, "Well, hell, I can do it, but it's just going to spoil the whole day for me." I'm in sort of that frame of mind when I have to make a speech, especially one as important as that was this morning that I made, which outlines the Democratic platform on the farm. I had a most interesting and educational tour around this plowing contest ground today. I met the owners and tenants of these farms and inquired of them if they thought all this tramping would ruin this good Iowa soil, and they said no, one rain would cure it all. That's remarkable. That is entirely remarkable. I saw this straight line plowing contest as we came in and was particularly interested in watching to see whether there were jumps and curves in the furrows. I didn't see but two places where there could be said to have been a crook in the furrow. The others were all so straight, I don't see how you'll ever be able to pick the winner. Then I went over here and looked at the contour plowing, and the uses that were being made of the water hole to stop a wash. Most interesting. I was down in the Virgin Islands here not long ago, and they are starting that contour treatment of the hills and volcanoes down in that part of the world and are raising some remarkable crops on those terraces. So you see, we're using our knowledge not only to improve Iowa and Missouri and Illinois, we're using it to improve those peoples who are dependent upon us for a living and for information on how to make a living. Your gentleman who introduced me said that he'd like to hear something about my experience as a farmer. It's hardly worth telling in this age.
President Truman, almost all of these people are farm people. We like to think of them as the progressive farm people in the Midwest. Mr. Truman, I know that they would love to hear you make at least a comment or two about your own farming recollection. One thing I'm quite sure they would like to hear you make a reference to is a statement that some of your neighbors made that you could plow one of the straightest furrows of anyone in your community. Would you care to elaborate on that just a little?
Well, I'll tell you frankly, that statement was made by a very, very prejudiced witness. That statement was made by my mother. I did have a reputation, though, of being able to sow a 160-acre wheat field without a skip place showing in it. My father used to always raise so much fuss about a skip place in an oat field or a wheat field that I was very careful never to have a skip place, and I accomplished it by putting a marker on the drill and sowing the wheat just like I planted the corn. Then I had some other experiences that are interesting. In those days, we had what we called a gang plow, two 12-inch plows on the same frame with three wheels on it. And it was its motive power was four horses or four mules or three mules and a horse or whatever you could get to pull it. And it moved at a rate where it turned over a two-foot furrow, and if you'd count the revolutions of the big wheel and find how far it was around the land, you could tell just how long it would take you to plow an acre and how long it would take you to plow the whole field, sometimes 3-4 days, sometimes longer. Now you can get on a tractor and plow night and day, and you don't have to unharness the horses, you don't have to curry them, you don't have to feed them, you don't have to water them, you don't have to do anything but just run the tractor till you go to sleep and then go in and take a nap and come back and run it again. I didn't live in that age. I'm sorry I didn't, and I don't want to turn the clock back. I don't want to go back to that horse and buggy age, although some of our Republican friends do.
Mr. Truman, President Truman, we know that you have a schedule to make, and that those who are in charge of that schedule, I know, are very anxious to have you go with them in the next few seconds. Before you do, may I remind you again that many of these people have come since you made your appearance earlier today, and that altogether we have no definite final figure on the count, but I've heard many estimates of more than 100,000 people here to see you. Many of these people are seeing you for the first time, and probably just in closing, you might want to make a statement as to how you feel about coming back to the land of golden corn and green fields.
I'll come back anytime you ask me, especially when I'm met by 10 acres of people. Now you figure out how many that is.
And thank you very much, Herb Plambeck. At this time, amid a huge throng of some 100,000 people here at the site of the 6th annual National Plowing Match and Soil Conservation Field Day, we'll have another broadcast from here this afternoon at 4 o'clock. That broadcast will be at 3:30 until 4, but until then, we return you to Des Moines.
The Central Broadcasting Company stations, WHO and WHO-FM Des Moines.